All right, this morning, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. And we're going to look at verse 23 down to about verse 33. But as we do this, we're doing kind of a sermon this morning built on the theme for VBS. And you see that on the screen, the power of God. And as we think about what's happening this week, and first let me say this, I am so thankful for all of you who have agreed to help and have been working hard over the weekend to put the sets and all of the decorations together. I'm looking forward to a great week of VBS. But this week, our kids are going to come have fun. That's part of VBS. But they're also going to learn something, we hope, about God. And so we need to be in prayer about that, and also be in prayer for children and even adults who may have never accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. This week, they're going to talk about how the power of God is evident in the world around them. We're going to talk about that particularly today by something that Jesus says in this passage. But they're going to talk specifically this week about how Jesus helps all of us through hard times and difficult times, that he gives us hope. His power gives us the hope in order to be able to make it through the day, make it through the week, make it through difficult times. His power is also there to help us to be bold. As we've talked often about standing for Christ and preaching the truth in front of our friends and neighbors and family. But also there's power in God through salvation. And that's one of the keys we're going to talk about today is one of the most remarkable evidences of God's power is through his ability to change you and I into what? The likeness of Jesus. And then the final thing they're going to learn toward the end of the week is how the power of God not only changes us, but now changes the way that we treat others and deal with others. And that's evident, of course, in the life and the work of the church. And so these lessons are important for children, but I think they also are important for us as adults. So I looked at a passage. Now, this is not one particularly that's going to come out this week, but I tried to do my best to sort of culminate all of these discussions about the power of God and sort of encapsulate them then into a story that Jesus gives us here in Matthew chapter 22. And as I've said, we're looking starting in verse 23. Now, Jesus is toward the end of his ministry on earth. It won't be long from this point that he'll be arrested and charged with blasphemy, and then he will eventually be put on the cross and put to death for his innocence, honestly. He was not guilty of the things that they charged him with. But it's interesting in a story like this that we find the Sadducees sort of at the lead making attacks against Jesus. And most of you probably know this. The Sadducees were the wealthy Jews of the day, and they weren't so religious as much as they were political. And they were threatened by Jesus not because he was saying he was God, or that he was the equivalent of God, or that he was doing all of these miracles. They were concerned because of the fear that people would start listening to him and not listening to them. And so they might lose their political power. And so they will begin hunting for ways to entrap Jesus. They wanted to find him guilty of some charge that they then could bring before the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish Supreme Court of the day, and then get rid of him. And their goal, some way, somehow, was to get rid of Jesus. And so this is one of those attempts. Now, this will be in part not a trap as much as it was an attempt that they'll make. And so that's the story going on here. The Sadducees, a few of them, are catching Jesus, hopefully off guard. He's not off guard, by the way. But they are going to try to bring up a law from the Old Testament out of the Deuteronomic law, as you'll see in verse 24, and try to catch him. But Jesus is, of course, too smart for that, and because he's God. And he will respond with something that I think will help us to understand what we mean by the power of God. Let's pray, and then we'll jump right into this passage. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the blessing that we have to have your word written so long ago, but yet still so relevant for us. And this morning, as we think about the power of God and all of the examples that many of us have experienced and seen, both present day and in the past, and no doubt in the future as well, we will see the power of God on display. For believers, that is a reminder of your presence and the power that comes through that presence. For the lost person, it's a call, I believe, to understanding that they can run, they can try to hide, but they can never get fully out of the knowledge of God's power. So my prayer for a lost person this morning, Father, is that as we study this passage together, that what you would do is open their eyes and open their hearts to the examples of the power of God that they're seeing on a daily basis. Not only maybe in their life, but in the world around us and in this nation and maybe in other loved ones. The miracles and the things that you have done that are only explained by just it being a miracle. Help them to see that. And I think all through the New Testament, Jesus used such power to draw people toward you. And so we pray that same thing happens even today as we talk about the power of God. For the believer, I pray it would be a reminder of your grace and all of the good things that you've done in our life and the miracles that you've done, and just a reminder to be thankful for those things, to be putting our object of praise on you and not on something else, and that it would stir our hearts in the need to share and identify that power correctly to those around us so that they too can celebrate, God, your presence. So, Father, we pray as always, bless us as we read your word together. Open our hearts and our minds as we look at it. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm going to start reading in verse 23, chapter 22, and it starts this way. And on that day, some Sadducees, and then I have a parenthesis, who say there's no resurrection. Now, that's part of the Sadducees' belief. They believe that once you died, you went on into the afterlife and there was no resurrection, no heaven or hell. But they were still Jewish, but not real religious Jews. It was more convenient. Well, they go on to say this. And they came to Jesus and questioned him. Verse 24, this is where we see the attack being made, or the entrapment. Asking, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother." That's a complete statement out of Deuteronomy. And this was part of the Old Testament law. That was something that was put into effect in the Jewish culture. Well, now here comes the specifics of what they're trying to trick Jesus in. Verse 25, "Now there were seven brothers with us. And the first married and died and having no children, left his wife to his brother. And also the second and the third and down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died." Now verse 28, "In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had married her." Again, they're trying to entrap Jesus. They're trying to get him to speak blasphemy against the law that they held so high in esteem in the Old Testament. But this is Jesus' response. And we'll read it down to really verse 32 and then close us out in verse 33. So it starts then in verse 29. "But Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding." This is your underlining statement for this morning. "Not understanding the scriptures," listen to that next statement, "nor the power of God." In other words, they were misidentifying. The law was not the power of God. Now, what I mean by that is not that the scriptures are not the power of God, but when we begin to put so much emphasis on following the law to the T and lose sight of the reason why we follow it, then we are just like the Sadducees and misunderstanding the purpose of the scriptures and the power of God that is found through them and into daily life. Now, we're going to come back and talk about that a little bit. That is, verse 29 is kind of our focal verse this morning. Now, to sort of round this out, let's go on into verse 33. All into verse 30, down to verse 33, and it says this, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." In other words, he's reminding us the purpose in Scripture. It's to draw us toward God, so that we can begin to experience him on a personal level, not through just some writings in a book. And then in verse 33, when the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. In other words, you might think of it this way. They marveled at his ability to see right past the Sadducees and what they were attempting to do. Now, we could go several different directions in this message this morning, but I choose to go back to verse 29, and we're going to look at that statement about misunderstanding, in other words, the scriptures, and not understanding the power of God. So if you're writing notes this morning, and I would encourage you to take them, we're going to put these under the heading this morning of this: how can we see and know the power of God? There are three things. We've mentioned some in our introduction of what the children will learn this week, but I want to bring it to a different level for us. As believers, and even as non-believers, these are three ways this morning that we can notice and take note of and recognize and hope for the power of God to operate in. And he does, I promise, on a daily basis. The first one is this, and you'll see it on the screen. We can see and know the power of God through his, what? Created order. This is that place where we see God in the functioning and the making and the creation of the world. Things like the weather and seasons and space, the universe, all of the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun. All of these are mechanisms that point toward the power of God. Do you ever doubt the presence of God's power or his inability to do what he needs to through that power? Then I would just remind you to look at nature and see the things that he's done. We're in the heat of the summer. We're in the harvest season coming, and we'll see evidence of God's power through the things that we plant in the ground. Now, we don't do that very well at my house, but some of you do that really well, and you put seeds in the ground, and then these plants grow into these nice, beautiful things that God has ultimately put into place, and then you get vegetables and other types of fruits and things that you can harvest and eat. Listen, that is a regular display of God's power. I mean, I hate cutting grass. And the yard at the house is a big yard, but we cut the grass on a regular basis. The fact that I hate cutting grass is display of the fact that I can cut it this week, and at this time of year, next week, by midweek, I've got to cut it again. The fact that it continues to grow, even when I don't want it to, is a display of God's power. We see God's power not only in those types of things, but we see them in his creation, in the created order. It's on display. And listen, God created the world, I believe, in the beginning, in 6 literal days. I believe that. 24-hour days. We can argue about that, but that's the way that I see Scripture written in Genesis and carried through all into the New Testament. But despite that, God is not through. He is still in the creation process. When a child is born, that's evidence of God's continued creation and the order and the mechanisms and the systems that are in play. And by the way, many of which we still don't understand. God's power is on display all the time in his created order. Another example is you and I and our health and the way our body functions. It's amazing to me that, and we don't always catch this, but we talk about doctors practicing medicine. I take that to mean that they're still learning. And there are a lot of things they don't understand. Some of you, since I've been in this church, have gotten diagnoses, and they don't understand how those diagnoses come about. And sometimes they don't understand certain things that are happening. That, again, goes back to the fact that even in our great knowledge, we don't fully grasp or understand, or I believe have the ability to fully grasp all of what God does through his power. Even through the body and the doctors and the great medical science we have, there are still things we don't know. And so that's a display of God's power. And as a believer, that's where the faith begins. When we don't fully understand the whys, the hows, the whens, that's then when faith steps in and gives us the assurance that though we don't understand or our doctors don't understand, then God understands. And he has a purpose in that process, and we'll get to that a little bit later in these 3 points. But God does show his power through the created order. The second one is this, and this is the one I think we experience on a personal level. Not only do we see God's power displayed through his created order and all of the things that that encompasses, but we also can see it through his work in people. And I would even say through people as well. But we see that in the power that he has in changing people, the power to redeem people, the power to forgive us of our sins, and the entrapment that sometimes sin has in our lives, God's power to break those things down and begin to change and convert us, and as we often say, transform us into the plan that he has for us. Not our plan or Satan's plan, but in what he wants us to be. That's a display of God's power. And no matter how your life was like before you became a believer, when we compare ourselves as believers to the change that God has made and is continuing to make in our life, maybe not to the way we used to be, but could be, but to the way the world is. And we can be thankful that God's power is on display in our lives on a daily basis. See, I think sometimes when we come across that cynic, and in this story, the Sadducees are kind of the cynics. They're doubting, they're misunderstanding. They're refusing to have the eyes to see. Well, we don't necessarily have Sadducees in the world today, but we have people today that sometimes doubt God's ability to change them or God's ability to do certain things, and so they become cynical of that. And while we can point to the evidences that we just talked about in his created order, and we can say that the world was created by God and all of the things that we see were put in play by God, but they could still doubt those things. They could still come up with a scientific alternative in their mind to how those things come about. And one of those is evolution today. That is the counter to the creation, is that it just happened. It just popped up and maybe a great explosion occurred. And what we see, all of the differences in you and I and all of the systems that we just talked about have just all popped up out of happenstance. Now, I'm going to tell you, that to me takes more faith and trust in something that you can't see than just to believe that God did it. But in spite of all of that, people still will argue with you about those types of things. But let me tell you, what they can argue about is the change that God has made in your life, the transformation that he makes in your life, the things that they see God doing in your life. Those, to me, become much more evidence of God's power for certain people than even all of the creation that we see in the world around us. Because people who are lost know you before and now see you as a believer or compare you to themselves or the world, they see a difference. And they see the love that you have for people and the love that you have for your Heavenly Father, and that begins, I believe, to show them and remind them of the greatness of God's power. He is in the process of changing people, and that takes power. And I'll be honest, for some it takes more power than others, okay? But God is in the process of changing us, and it's evidence of his power. And so we need to be reminded of that and be thankful of the fact that we're not like the world or we're not like we were, that God has changed us. But God wants to use that to become something that points people toward him. When you think about Jesus in the story, And the audacity, if you will, that he had in verse 29 to call out the Sadducees and accuse them of being mistaken and misunderstanding. I mean, these were the wealthy elite of the day. They would have walked around in sort of this banner of pride saying that I am elite and I am at the top of the Jewish religion because of all of the things that I seem to have and know. But yet here's Jesus calling them out. The audacity to do that, again, is a display for them that he was different. And then they sort of wind all of the powerful miracles that he made. And the fact that he was born of a virgin. I mean, talk about a display of God's power. That's an ultimate one. And so we see that they're seeing and really are threatened by that power displayed through Jesus, that it now becomes a point of conviction for them. And that's where their real struggle is the conviction of knowing that they could be wrong and seeing the truth in front of them. I believe the same types of things happen in the world today. When lost people come face to face with the truth displayed in God's word, or the truth displayed in the change and the power of God in our lives, it becomes a point of contention for them of where they're not and where they need to be. And so what do? We love through that. And as much as Jesus is defending himself and attacking the Sadducees at the same time, he's never losing sight of the love that he has for them. So my point in that, and the differences that we might have with the world, doesn't in any way make us or allow us to begin to turn that into hate or a way to disparage people. It really is evidence of God's power for us to love them, even when they may not love us. And so we love them through that process of letting God put on display, don't miss that, the change that God has made in our lives and is continually making. We're not perfect, we know that, and the world knows that as well. But God is still in the process of utilizing his power to change us into what it is that he wants us to be. So God's power obviously is displayed through the work of people and the work in people and the work through people. The third one is this, and this is our last one, and that is God's power is on display not only through his creation, as we've said, and through people, but it's also through his divine plan. And we talk about this a lot because I really believe sometimes as believers, we sort of forget that God has a plan. And in that plan, he has purpose and meaning and intent. And all of the things that happen, I'm not going to sit here or stand here rather and say that God causes all of the bad things to happen. You know that we live in a fallen world. And sometimes because of sin in our world, bad things happen. But listen, none of those things, listen to this and make sure we understand this, are more powerful than God. God can take any circumstance or situation and turn it into something he can use. And then what blows our mind is, from the very beginning, God knew that was going to happen. And he had already put in place a remedy or a cure or something that needed to be done. Last week I talked about on-ramps, off-ramps. I mean, that's a display of God's power that even before we even knew what might happen, God had already put a place on your path for when you make mistakes to find a way to get back on to the highway of his will. And that happens on a regular basis in our lives. And you know what happens? Is we become immune to it. We're no longer shocked by it. We're no longer amazed by it. And I think in passages like these and discussions like this sort of remind us to still be praising God for the things that he does. Not taking for granted the things that he does on a daily basis. And the fact that he loves us enough that he builds those on-ramps and off-ramps for us, even before we even think we need them. God has had a divine plan from the very beginning that incorporated this encounter with Jesus and the Sadducees, and they did not arrest him at this moment because it wasn't God's timing. And the things that happen in our life and the things that we may have been praying for and hoping for, and those things have not happened yet because maybe God's plan has not reached that point yet. And maybe we're not in a place to receive it, or the person that we've been praying for is not in a place to get it, but we trust that plan and we believe in God's power through that plan. And the more we live under the faith of Jesus Christ, the more evidence that we see of God's power. And so that allows us to trust that plan. I mean, I talk about this a lot in the last few months because it is, I think, a historical moment for a church like ours and a nation and even the world, this pandemic. I mean, it was a defining moment in our history that we will look back on as a time of great upheaval, but yet God still had a plan through that process. And the things that we thought we were suffering through and probably were suffering through, God was using for his good and his purpose. And he's still using that. And we don't always understand the things that he's doing or how they were happening or how they're going to happen. But we do know this, is that God is on his throne and his plan is not messed up or off its tracks or detoured simply because of a pandemic. Again, the mind-blowing part of this, God knew from the beginning that pandemic would come at the moment that it came. And he knew what our reactions were going to be. But yet he put that challenge, I believe, in front of us, both as individuals and as a church, to be able to grow through that and begin to see the display of his power. Friends, God's power is sometimes on display even through the hard times and the difficult times and the uncertain times. And we need to make sure that we have the eyes to see that and recognize God's power sometimes when it's difficult to see it. So as we look at this passage, and again, there are a lot of other things here that we could look at, and we won't this morning. We'll leave it right there. But as we've said, we can see and know God's power through his created order, through the work in people, and as we even added, through people, and then also through his divine plan. And here's the question for us as believers. Are we so immune to the workings of God that we no longer seem to be dazzled by the actions of his power? When he does a miracle, do we just say, well, praise the Lord, and just move on? Or are we blown away by the fact that he does those things? And even sometimes when we are in the waiting room for God to do something that we've prayed for, are we still trusting and having faith that would allow us to trust that even though we may not see it, God's plan and his power through that plan is still at play, and we just need to be patient and look for it. And then other times, we don't have the eyes to see it. It's not that God's power is not happening, but we're missing it because we're not in a right relationship with him. Maybe we're distracted by something. Maybe we're refusing to see God in that when he's in it and has been in it all along. But for a lost person, all of this comes down to the fact that whether you want to acknowledge it or not, God is here. And God sent his son to die for you. And that is the only way that one can have forgiveness, and as we've talked about, true godly change, to experience, I believe, the fullness of God's power, that can only happen through a relationship with him through what Jesus did on the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning as we come to the end of this passage and just what it means and kind of let it settle in our hearts. And for believers, as we've said, Father, just to stir us and to awaken us to continue to be blown away on a daily basis by your acts of power, the evidence of that power in the world around us. That even this week that we would somewhere, somehow be reminded of that power in something that you do or how you do it. And then for the lost person, Father, as we've said, this message is really a display for them that God is present. God's not going anywhere. He's not been anywhere. He has been in this world from the very beginning, loving unconditionally every one of us, including that lost person who may be struggling this morning in acknowledging even the presence of God. So my challenge to them, if they believe and continue to believe that God doesn't exist, then explain, as we've said, the change and the evidence of God's power. I just don't believe it can be always happenstance or by accident. There's just too much of God's handprint and fingerprints on things that happen. And probably if a lost person's honest, they can acknowledge that. There are things that have happened in their lives and in the world around them that they can't explain. And so they just sort of ignore that. But this morning I want you, Father, to convict them and turn their eyes toward you as the source of that power. Because that's where it is. Lord, we don't know what decisions need to be made this morning. Whether they're here or watching on our live stream or listening on our podcast sometime this week. If they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we invite them just to simply say this, Father, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for the things that I've done, the trespasses against you. And I ask now that Jesus would come into my heart and become my Lord and Savior. And I choose this day to turn and follow you and make you my Lord and Savior. Father, if they've prayed that prayer, my hope is they would reach out to somebody, maybe call the church office, or if they're present here, to come down as we have this invitation and share with everyone the decision that they've made to follow Jesus Christ. Father, we give you all of the glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of invitation? Amen.